Hey, everyone, back again. Today, I want to talk about social contract theory. That is what it is, some of the main figures within it, what they say, and how they disagree with one another. But before jumping into it, hi, I'm David. I explain philosophical concepts and ideas and ways to make them accessible to you. So if you're new here, you can like, share, subscribe, see videos I release every single week, sometimes twice a week. If you found this on YouTube, you're going to be able to find it as a podcast where there's just audio. Wouldn't that be fun? Or if you found this as a podcast, you're going to be able to find it on YouTube where you'll see my office in a video, if you want. If you want to follow me on any other platforms, you can do so on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. Links for all such things in the description. If you want to help me out, you can do that monetarily via Patreon or PayPal. No pressure to do that. Best way to help is just tell your friends. Who knows? They might get a kick out of it. Tell them, come, learn about philosophy. Offer their knowledge in the comments section. That would be so marvelous. And you do it too. I'd love to know what you have to say about this. So yeah, we're at the minute mark. I always try to keep it at a minute. At the minute mark, let us jump into social contract theory. Now, specifically, we're going to be looking at Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau. So we're going to go through all of these thinkers, and then you're going to tell me whose side you're on. You agree with, more with Hobbes? I don't know why you would, but maybe you do. Hobbes, Locke, Rousseau, I'd love to know what you have to say about them. But in short, social contract theory refers to people's coming together around agreed upon contracts, covenants, or agreements to live together in peace around those contracts or covenants or agreements. These are set up in such a way so as to be mutually beneficial to everybody who consents to them. The key point to social contract theory is that people sign up, not like, you know, literally sign up, but they consent to certain contracts, certain obligations, because they are beneficial to them and they're beneficial to everybody else. Now, the social contract theorists are very much aware of the fact that as humans, we are destined to work together. We really need to. Now, add a little asterisk, their views on this differ a little bit, but we really need to work together as humans. If we don't, we wouldn't stand much chance. If any of your ancestors, if you're listening to this, if any of your ancestors had said to the group, hey, I don't like y'all anymore, I'm gonna go live in the woods on my own, you wouldn't be listening right now. That wouldn't be a thing. You would not be here. As humans, we are just so ill-equipped for the world. We don't have fangs or talons. We can't see in the dark. We can't do anything. We need to really work together. And so social contract theorists, and they all kind of agree on this, believe that nature furnishes us, supplies us the ability and the kind of propensity, the will to work together in order to create a world that is best for everyone. Now, of the social contract theorists, Hobbes comes first, Thomas Hobbes and his famous text called Leviathan. Now, what Hobbes suggests is that people leave nature, which is violent and chaotic and full of anarchy, and it's a war of what he calls all against all. It's just like a perpetual civil war. Everyone's in combat with one another. Hobbes says that at some point, people grow very sick of that way of living and choose to instead live together in peace in order to be free from all the harms present in nature. Now, what this requires for Hobbes is for people to give up some of their liberties, where he says that in nature, everybody is free to do whatever they want. No one will hold anyone accountable, and everything is just pure chaos. He says that people actually give up that opportunity to have all of their liberties in order to live in peace with fewer liberties, but those liberties will be protected by a sovereign who will hold people accountable if they break the agreed upon rules. Now, what's central to Hobbes's idea is that there is a sovereign. There is somebody or an organization who is going to be the figurehead of the entire social body and around which the entire social body gravitates and moves with. And this person might, like I said, might be an organization. For Hobbes, it can look like a democracy, it could look like an oligarchy, it can be a monarchy, it can be any of these things so long as the people have agreed to it. Now, he prefers small governments like a monarchy because there are fewer cooks in the kitchen, there are fewer people to add input, fewer people to lead the boat astray. But he's clear that it can be any one of these governing systems, democracy, oligarchy, or monarchy. Now, from Thomas Hobbes, we have John Locke. And much of what Locke says is quite similar to Hobbes, but there are some tiny differences that reveal entire rifts between their two perspectives. Locke also begins from the premise that the state of nature is something that people leave and enter into society or the commonwealth. However, unlike Hobbes, Locke doesn't think that the state of nature is this pure area of chaos and anarchy and war and strife and suffering. Instead, Locke thinks, as a, you know, God-fearing Christian, he's like, God wouldn't have created nature and had it be totally chaotic. In fact, nature is incredibly ordered, and nature supplies people with fundamental laws that they should follow, like to self-preserve. Within nature as well, it's not as though no one will hold anyone accountable. Locke is clear that doing bad things in nature will likely mean that bad things will happen to you. And so he's clear that nature is actually not that bad, at least relative to how Hobbes describes it as this pure, horrible place of chaos and anarchy. However, Locke still thinks that the commonwealth or society offers people more than the state of nature. And that is because the state should function, or really ideally will function, in such a way as to optimize people's ability to enact their liberties. Now, what he means by that is that what makes us human for Locke, really one of our defining qualities, is that we are free and that we are able to act in the world and enact that freedom upon things to acquire them. So we can acquire land or other property, like things that are ours that we've earned through our sweat, through the sweat of our brow, by pulling up our bootstraps, we have acquired these things. And he says that this is possible in the state of nature. However, there are certain risks there. There are geographic risks, there are environmental risks, there are risks of other people. Even if generally things are quite harmonious within nature, he's clear that there are still many risks, and that people fare better when they are living under a governmental system that will protect them and protect their property that they have accumulated through work. So people consent to this system, a kind of unwritten contract, where they will live in harmony and be protected from outside threats or other threats to their property, all the while being held in check so as not to infringe on anyone else's rights. So for Locke, he doesn't like monarchies, you know, in the way that Hobbes does. Locke is much more in favor of, like, maybe representative democracy, parliamentary systems, where his ultimate goal was to have government be very small, where its only purpose is really to protect people's liberties and their properties. And anything beyond that, it's starting to get too bloated, it's going to cost too much money. And this set the stage for really how the United States would develop. Thomas Jefferson was very influenced by John Locke's ideas. And we see this really play out in the US and its hyper-emphasis on individuality, stand your ground laws. There's a point within John Locke's text when he says that you're allowed to kill a thief because if they're willing to steal from you, then they're willing to take away your liberty, therefore they're willing to kill you. So if someone wants to steal your TV, Locke prescribes that you can then kill them. This kind of plays out in American political social imaginary as well, where you can enact the death penalty if someone tries to steal your car, which is in some places, you know, the stand your ground laws. But it's had this effect. John Locke's philosophy has had this effect on the US, among other places that embrace this idea of liberty and property. And that puts us here into Jean-Jacques Rousseau, or Rousseau. People always get so funny when I pronounce names in French. Rousseau, whatever. Jean-Jacques. Yeah, you know him. Rousseau. Now, he wrote the book called The Social Contract. And he, like Locke and like Hobbes, believe that there's this state of nature, and then there's this thing called society, and people move into society or this commonwealth from the state of nature. However, his view about people entering into society contractually, like they set up agreements and various contracts that push them there, Rousseau is like, I'm not too sure that people always just consent to it, and that actually power might play a little bit of a part historically in forcing people into these kinds of arrangements, into these societies. And that is because for Rousseau, the state of nature is actually quite good. I mean, think about it. We have been humans like this for, it could be up to 100,000 years. We've been humans like this with our brains, you know, with the humans we are, 100,000 years. But we only started to develop states, like sedentary states, about 10,000 years ago that, you know, could be earlier, like that we know of, with Kato Hayek and Göbekli Tepe and all these places, 10,000 years ago, even 20,000 years ago, it was 50,000 years ago, let's say. That means for 50,000 years before then, humans were just like not in states, or not, like, what were they doing? Well, Rousseau's answer is like, actually, nature is pretty great. It supplies people what they need. Like, they get food off of trees. They don't have to go and labor for someone else to get money to then buy things. They just learn how to work the soil. Like, we're just animals. Like, it's weird that we mediate our relationship to satisfying our basic needs by our ability to work and then get money and then go buy those things that someone's going to sell to us, that they had to employ people to work. And when, like, as humans, we should be able to just get things off of trees and the floor. And Rousseau is very aware of this, that society actually creates the conditions for our subjugation, where he says, in a very famous quote, starting out the social contract, he says that man is born free and everywhere he is in chains. The point being that within nature, we are truly free. And when we enter society, although we do it maybe willingly, we start to impose rules on ourselves. So why do people do this then? Why do people actually enter society? Well, his answer is that, like, as populations grow, people are forced to adapt and adopt more complicated forms of governance and control and cities and all that, to really watch everyone, to keep everyone in check, to make sure that everyone's following the rules and contributing. And so then states emerge, not necessarily through like willing consensual contract, as the other people have said, but through a kind of necessity. Now, in the face of this, he believes that the ultimate goal of government is to try as best as possible is to limit oppressions, to limit controls, and to foster the kind of freedom and resources that were originally found in nature, so that society can best mirror that system. So yeah, let me know what you think. Whose side are you on here? I really love to know. Explain why. And yeah, on that note, if there's anything I've omitted that you think is really important, you can add it. I can pin the comment, everyone can see. It'll be so fun. If there's anything I got wrong, I'd love to hear about it. And yeah, on that note, take care.